Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pat Leonard of the New York Daily News, he covers the New York football Giants, used to cover the Rangers, who are off to the 2-0 start, and I know you're paying attention to them.
You know it, Schmooze, but got to tell you, that 16-game schedule, you know, it's a little bit easier on the body and the mind on that 82-gamer, you know?
Yeah, well, of course, but here's the bottom line. I mean, you're covering the New York football Giants. They're off to the 2-3. First of all, before we get into some of the issues that there is with the New York football Giants, can you give us a little bit with the injury report? We're obviously not going to see Shepard, not going to see Barkley this coming on Thursday night, fair to say?
Right, Shepard is definitely out. Saquon Barkley won't say he's definitely out. He said that nothing is for certain yet, but reports are that he's unlikely to play. That is true. You know, he says he will be on the bus with the team, so he says he's making the trip, but don't expect him to play. And then Evan Engram is doubtful with an MCL sprain in his left knee, as well as, of course, Wayne Gallman being out with a concussion. So that's four major offensive players likely out.
And so the Rutgers kid is, I guess, what? He's going to start at running back in back of Mr. Jones?
I think it's going to be a combination of him and Eli Penny, the fullback. They really like Eli Penny. I think he's going to be more featured even than Hilleman. And then they could end up calling this guy off the practice squad, Austin Walter. But I would actually expect Penny to be the guy because they trust him in pass protection as well. And he, you know, they just trust kind of his knowledge of the offense and what he can do.
Pass protection. Well, is there any?
well said. Daniel Jones, actually, he has seen the second most pressure on dropbacks of any quarterback in the NFL except for Luke Falk of the New York Jets. That's a Pro Football Focus stat. More than 40% of his dropbacks, he's been under pressure. You know, you can't live like that, especially with a rookie quarterback. Yes, he has some mobility and he can make those plays, but the Giants offensive line has to be better. Nate Solder, the left tackle, said after the game against the Vikings that he hasn't played well enough this season. The center, John Jalapio, needs to be a lot better as well. Those are two guys to focus on, especially against the New England Patriots defense that is giving up 6.8 points per game. If Jones doesn't have any time to throw, especially not having any of his top weapons, it's going to be a very long night.
With the Giants trying to sell the development of Daniel Jones, and he really does look like a keeper. I know that the sample is small, but still, if you know, the Giants want to say to their fan base and to everybody, it is the most important thing that, and it is very important that Daniel Jones get the reps and get the experience and evolve and with his development and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, ad infinitum. But the Giants also want to win. They want to do both, don't they?
They really do, Schmooze. You hit it right on the head. You know, John Mara and Steve Tisch, they want to win, especially because they always want to win, but especially coming off of these consecutive seasons of 3-13 and 5-11, they're tired of losing. They've lost enough games. So even though they know that they had to have an eye for the future by drafting Jones, they, and you know, this all the way down to Pat Shurmur, the head coach, for why he made the move to Jones, was to give the team a better chance to win. It helped them win those two games and get to 2-2. But these Vikings and Patriots games were always going to be tough. You know, if Eli was in the game, Daniel Jones is in the game, at least if you have the rookie quarterback in, you let him go through some growing pains. But, of course, you want to protect him as well and be competitive. And that's something you hit right on the nose there, is that this is the kind of game, especially with how shorthanded the Giants are, where you want to go through growing pains, but you don't want to lose 40-0 and have the kid lose confidence either.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be competitive. And so that's the tough thing with how this roster is built right now and some of the decisions that Dave Gettleman has made on both sides of the ball. Particularly, you look at the defense and some of the personnel they're throwing out there. It's very difficult to think that they can succeed against a team like the Patriots. You know, you kind of want to put your head down through this one and get through it and get to the next week against the Cardinals right now, because this one really might be tough to stomach. But as Pat Shurmur said, you know, he needs to call plays to keep Jones in the ideal situations to succeed, and then Jones needs to execute.
You think Shurmur puts the Giants offense as a play caller in the best position to succeed, Pat?
I think in general, Schmooze, he does. You know, I don't think his coaching is the reason they lose, if that's what we're talking about, because obviously there are coaches who do that. And I mean, Pat Shurmur, I don't agree with every decision he's made in every game, but for example, going for it on fourth downs, I think there were three of them against the Vikings when they're in the red zone. I agreed with that. You know, I like his aggressiveness. I like that, especially because the Giants are trying to change the way things are going around here. And I think in the positions that he has in the game, the players that he's had and the matchups that he's created, and he and Mike Shula and Tyke Tolbert do scheme receivers open pretty well, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
We're just watching them run into two of the best defenses in the league right now. But one thing that I think Shurmur needs to do with Jones and with this offense against New England is continue to stress pushing the ball down the field, because that was one thing Jones did right when he got in against the Buccaneers that Eli Manning had stopped doing in his career. But now we talked about that pass pressure and the lack of protection. Guys like Dante Hightower and Kyle Van Noy and Chase Vinovich with the Patriots, they're going to be coming and they're going to get some pressure on Daniel Jones. He needs to keep his eyes down the field just like he was in that first game, and make these throws and give receivers opportunities to win downfield instead of pulling his eyes down and keeping the ball behind the sticks and not moving the ball down the field.
Mm-hmm. Who was more confused with the defense with Minnesota, with what they were showing the Giants with their offense? Was the offensive line more confused, or Daniel Jones more confused with trying to read what the Minnesota defense was showing them?
I think it was the offensive line, and I think it was not just confusion with what they were showing them. For example, on the safety, the offensive linemen, Jalapio and Zeitler, said there was some kind of miscommunication there where they just didn't block it. But also, like Nate Solder versus Everson Griffin or Anthony Barr coming on some of these other blitzes, I think the offensive line just wasn't able to pick it up. In fact, you know, that was part of, even though Daniel Jones didn't have great stats, thanks to Corey Ballantyne's kick return, getting a good field position with the one touchdown, that was a beautiful throw Jones made to Darius Slayton on the touchdown. And then they were in position, to score, to hit some shots. You know, Harrison Smith made a great play on a deep shot to Slayton. Daniel Jones just missed and overthrew Sterling Shepard in the end zone on what should have been a touchdown down to our left in the first half, I believe. But I think Jones saw what he needed to. One thing that did concern me, though, this is, of course, he's a rookie, but he can't hold the ball. Like, you see Jared Goff with the Rams, one thing he's starting to do that's upsetting is when he's under pressure, holding it a little too long. And then either taking bad sacks or throwing it up for grabs. Jones took a bad sack in the red zone against the Vikings, where he didn't make a decision. And indecisiveness had not been something we'd seen from him. So that was a little bit of a sign that he's seeing some things that he wasn't used to.
You know, you're talking about all the, you know, with Minnesota getting into his face. And they were doing it with just a four-man rush, were they not?
No, they were, exactly. And that's when we talk about facing competition that personnel-wise and coaching-wise is just a step up. You know, you just saw that against Griffin and Barr and Smith and Xavier Rhodes and Vikings and Mike Zimmer, and now you're seeing the gold standard, right? Now you're seeing Bill Belichick and everything he throws at you, and various pressures, things that you haven't seen on tape yet because he's scheming specifically for you and hasn't used anything against any of these other teams the Patriots have played because he's schemed it specifically for Daniel Jones and the Giants. But that's the thing. the Patriots are going to show Daniel Jones things that will confuse him. The offensive line needs to be able to pick it up and buy him time, especially because whether they're driving down the field and scoring on the Patriots or not, they can't be going three and out consistently and leaving the Giants' defense, which is already undermanned and overmatched, tired on the field against Tom Brady and the Patriots. I mean, you look at the Patriots, they're averaging 31 points per game as a team, and they're talking about how their offense isn't clicking yet. So that gives you kind of a window into how bad Thursday could get if the offensive line and the offense don't do their part and stay on the field and sustain drives.
At best, Cousins is a mediocre quarterback and so overpaid, but it's all about timing and being at the right place at the right time. He threw for almost 280 yards in the first half. The bootleg, what took the Giants so long to figure out what was working with Cousins and Thielen? And then, of course, if it wasn't those two, it was Cook running right through the Giants' defense. It wasn't very pretty.
Right. No, yeah, I think part of, well, a large part of it was honoring the run. Even though they didn't stop it well enough when they did run the ball, it was understanding that Dalvin Cook and the Vikings running game was their bread and butter. Mm-hmm. Also having two backup linebackers starting and playing the bulk of the game in David Mayo and Nate Stupar.
Yeah.
And then coverage is really confusion and coverage not lining up when they ran those boots. You know, whether it was Jabril Peppers, Antoine Bethea had a really tough game.
Yeah.
DeAndre Baker had, he had some plays with the rookie corner where he made a really good read and locked his man up and made a good play. And then he had made another play that had you shaking your head, took a bad angle, took a bad penalty. And also the pass rush. I mean, Schmooze, you know, we've talked about this for years, but and we know that the Giants, when they've been good, when they've been great, they've had great pass rushers. I mean, you look at the Green Bay Packers right now, they went out and signed Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, two of the top free agent pass rushers on the market, and they're creating more pressure right now on quarterbacks without blitzing than any other team out there. Dave Gettleman did not draft a pass rusher, did not sign a big pass rusher. He did bring in Marcus Golden, who has a really good motor. I really do like the rookie O'Shane Zimenez and what he brings, and Lorenzo Carter, if he gets healthy, can bring something, but I think against those bootlegs with Cousins, you weren't seeing them driving upfield and reading it quickly enough to get to Cousins before he made the throw. I was just watching some tape that Belichick was breaking down from their win over Washington, where they faced Colt McCoy on a bootleg rollout, and Dante Hightower, the Patriots linebacker, diagnosed it so quickly that he drove and sacked McCoy before he could hit a wide open receiver. So it wasn't like the coverage, you know, in the back end was perfect, but the recognition of the play call and the pass rusher was talented enough to get there. So that's what the Giants need to do up front.
You know who's come into his own? I mean, this was the one play, but he looked great. Jones looked great throwing to Slayton on that 35-yarder. What a great catch by Slayton, and I think his stock is rising. He looks like a player.
No question, Smooze. In fact, you know, when Golden Tate was saying he hoped he would be more involved, part of that was when the Giants were in two receiver sets. You know, initially it was Sterling Shepard and Cody Latimer, but Slayton was playing so well that they eventually, when they had two receivers on the field, it was Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton. And you think about the injury he had with the hamstring, he was out for a while, and really only being a fifth-round pick, what do you expect? But he's got speed. He's a very, soaks up a lot, you know, smart kid. I really like him, frankly. I think he's a good teammate. Also a guy who clicks with Jones. But you're right, that route on that touchdown was great. I mean, he beat one of the best corners, Xavier Rhodes, in the NFL. Beat him a couple times, actually. Was their leading receiver. I think he had 62 yards. But he and Jones, keep watching Slayton. I'm glad you brought him up because he and Daniel Jones have really good chemistry. So not only is he playing well and can he fly, he's super fast, definitely the fastest receiver on the team, but he and the rookie QB have something going too.
Pat, before I let you go, and again, I can't thank you enough, you know, from that, that goes without saying. Eli Manning, you think he's going to retire at the end of this season?
I do. I do think he will. I do think part of the interesting element of this season, or one of many interesting elements, is the fact that he continues to be the active backup behind Jones. Now, you know, obviously everybody hopes Jones stays healthy, plays 16 games, but it's interesting to follow that Eli may not have played his last snap. You know, if Jones goes down, he's going to have to go in there and play for the Giants, and that's what he'll do. But I do think at the end of this season, that'll be it. I think there's always going to be a part of Eli that believes that he can still do it, but I'm not sure the market is there for his services elsewhere at this point. And frankly, Schmooze, I don't think he needs to do anything else to prove to people what he's been as an NFL player. He's won two Super Bowls, two Super Bowl MVPs, and beaten you know, the Patriots, the best franchise arguably ever, while doing it. So I don't think there's really anything to gain by going and trying to make that third run. I think Eli's done what he's done, and that's enough.
Are we going to see this Kid Love? A caller wanted me to ask you about him.
Yes, you are. You know, I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, so he's been taking snaps now on defense. He's been doing mostly scout team reps, but Bethea, especially at safety, because he's been struggling, you're going to see Julian Love get on the field with the defense on Thursday. That would be his first defensive snaps. Okay. He's played exclusively special teams. And actually, the one play that that stood out the most he made in the preseason, he forced a fumble against Julian Edelman in New England. So hopefully we can see some more ball skills from Julian Love.
Pat, I can't thank you enough. Take care of yourself.
You got it. Thanks, Schmooze.
You got it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.